You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
All right, we're 3 for 3 with episodes this week. Today I'm bringing you my conversation with America Part 2. Their album, Price of a Nation, is aggressive and at times abrasive. You can tell that it's always exactly what the band members want it to be. On this episode, we talk about the roots of their music and sound, tracking live with an extended recording process, and using their platform to bring light to their experiences as young adults in America. Enjoy. Because of the sheer scope of sounds on the album, I kind of wanted to start, you know, from the beginning and have you talk a little bit about how you got into music and what some of those first big bands or albums were for you.
Sure. Yeah. Honestly, like for me, you know, at my house, my dad used to have these two CD, I guess, I don't even know what you would call them, just like giant like CD holders, right? And you would open them up. They were in the living room and there was just hundreds of them in there. So I would just pick out everything that I liked. And definitely at a young age, I was definitely attracted to like classic rock. So like, you know, I was listening to Led Zeppelin. I like definitely remember like Led Zeppelin 4 definitely hitting me, like all those songs, Rock and Roll, Stairway to Heaven, Misty Mountaintop. But as I started to like, you know, mature and, you know, you get around like end of middle school and you meet some more friends and stuff. Like when I started jamming with Alex, cause Alex in the band, me and him, we started jamming when we were 12. I shouldn't just say him, but him and like all of our friends kind of turned me on to like some of the scene music. So I was getting more into like All Time Low and Mayday Parade. And so like, I was finding things myself on like MTV, like Fall Out Boy and My Chemical Romance, and, like The Killers. And at the same time, it was, you know, like a combination of everything. And I think speaking for the boys as well, like it was probably just a combination of things at like age 11 or 12 that like launched us into being like super into like Warped Tour bands and Bamboozle bands. And then, you know, like I had a bunch of older cousins that got me into like 90s rap and like, you know, early punk stuff. So there's just been a ton of music in our friend group, I would say.
And as far as kind of like the more like raucous abrasive side of America Part 2, like kind of when did your taste start to expand in that way and what did it kind of look like for you?
Yeah, like honestly, when the band started, you know, I think we were trying to create this sound like that we were trying to hear like all throughout our youth. And it was just like this more polished like punk rock. And it was almost like we were getting into like our own alternative rock sound, I would say, right in like 2017 and 2018. And I think right when it turned around and like when it got like super wild and we started like trying different things was when we wrote Split, which is right after our first EP. And I think we just turned on the engines for that one. We tracked it live with no metronome and it was just super cool. And I think since then, like that got such a good like reaction. And also it was probably like I remember being so, you know, we were still so young too. This is like 3 or 4 years ago. So we like didn't know what people were gonna think. We're like, oh, this is like way too heavy for people, and they're not gonna like know what to expect because, you know, it's like coming from us. And I think it became like our like fight song. It became like our theme song almost in a way. And I think we just have matured a lot like in this band, because, you know, we started it when we were like 20, 21, and now we're all like 24, 25. So like, even like right now, like when I talk to like my friends about like where we're at as like musicians and songwriters and stuff, I say like right now, like we're writing some of the craziest stuff just cause like we have the confidence to, and like we just, you know, we've been working and jamming with each other for like 3 or 4 years straight. So definitely get way tighter as a band.
Yeah. And I mean, during like the writing process, I'm curious how you kind of like strike that balance between, you know, creating a cohesive sound and, you know, having the challenging side to the listener without kind of giving them too much whiplash.
Oh, that's a beautiful question. It's like, You know, it's so crazy because, like, I think, you know, anyone can agree on this. Like, a song could be written any sort of way. Like, it could just be like myself on acoustic guitar, and then, you know, the like just the riff is coming first, and then maybe the melody and some lyrics, and you just start writing a song like super easy. Whereas in like other instances, like when the band's together, like we'll meet up for band practice, and, you know, we'll like work on like our set for like the upcoming shows and stuff. But when we get into like writing, it could be something like, you know, someone just bring a riff, or like we just all fall into something that we're just fooling around on together. So I think my favorite part about writing with AP2 is because there's the three of us, you know, it's the triangle. I think when we're in the room together, doesn't matter what instruments we're on, because we're always actually like, when we're like just chilling and like writing and like throwing out some like new song ideas, like we'll hop on like other instruments, because we're all like, you know, we all like love playing different instruments, and like we're basically all trained in like certain different ways. You know, like I played concert band, like percussion and stuff throughout like middle school and like a little bit in high school, so it's cool like when I can hop on drums. Like I really enjoy seeing that from like a songwriting perspective. But yeah, I really like when the three of us like come together like in band practice, and it just like comes out so naturally, and we're all feeling it, and there's no like really like a question of where it's going, or like not someone truly being like, oh well, the song is like, is this, like before it's even written. Like it's one thing if a song is completely written and someone brings it to practice, like that's cool too, and that's like, you know, that's happened so many ways. It's cool. It's just like all different perspectives of the band, I think.
For sure. And I mean, you mentioned before the live tracking, and it seems like that, along with kind of like feeling like you're making, you know, something from the core of who you are, is something that's kind of important. And I think it leads to kind of the immediacy in both the music and the lyrics. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about, you know, your approach in that way. And I know Price of the Nation had kind of like this extended recording process. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I think tracking live is so cool. Like, especially like what we've done is, you know, we'll track without a metronome, just the three of us with our instruments. We won't track vocals. So we'll track drums, guitar, and bass, and then we'll overdub, you know, vocals and then other guitars, and then like whatever the song needs from there, whether it be like acoustics and pianos. And we just found, you know, like I said, like with Split, that was the first time we did it, and that was such an aggressive song, and you could just feel the performance way more. And I think for us, that's just what we like to do, because even if like there's things that we have to retrack over, you know, whether it be like guitar or bass, like, and honestly, it's so funny. Like when I track like bass, like I'm never telling anyone to bump over anything. I like keeping my raw tracks, 'cause I like, you know, even if things are sound like a little mess up or displaced in the song, like I think that adds so much character. But I think just for us, it's part of our strengths, because we're trying to get the closest to our live sound. And, you know, we've been doing a lot more like live tracking this past year. I mean, in terms of like new music, and also like doing some like live performance type stuff. We got some cool things in the works, but let me bring it back to Price of a Nation. For the record, you know, the first 5 days that we were working on it, which was, you know, it felt like such a huge chunk of time, we basically tracked 7 of the songs like almost fully, and then we essentially came back, topped off those songs again, and that was with Gary Cioni. And then throughout the year, we did like a couple sessions with Pete Andrews, where we tracked 3 more songs on the record, and then we basically finished up everything with Rob Sharapa, where he helped us just mix the rest of the songs, track like certain layers that just needed to be tracked, like little things like percussions and acoustics and whatever we wanted to do to make sure the songs felt like full in their own right, you know, because as a record, like it's got to feel cohesive, but also like if each song isn't full, you know, on their own level, like, you know, it feels a little thin or a little weak here and there. But yeah, we literally had such a fun time, and I'm glad that it took like a long time. Like it took like over, I mean, since everything had been tracked, like the original weekend or week that we went out there, like it was probably like a year and a half later, like we that it took us to finish. So maybe just like a year or so, year and change probably.
And what was it kind of about that length of time? Like, how did that kind of, you know, affect the way you viewed and, you know, your relationship to the record?
Honestly, like, I think it's almost like a love-hate thing, because at the time, you know, I mean, I think it's definitely what we needed. And I think we did everything that we wanted to do with this record. It just, I think it took us time to, one, just get back into the studio and have it work with everyone else's time. I think that was like, you know, we needed to do everything physically possible. And we had such great people working on this record, and everyone knew that, like, that even if we had to come in because there was like a vocal take or two that we had to do like just that day, and we only had like 4 hours to do it, like we would go up to Lake Copacong, like an hour and a half from us, and just do that for like the day. So it definitely like felt long as it was happening. And like, you know, every time we step in the studio, you know, we're like, yes, like we are getting done what needs to get done. But also like, you know, big things happened like last summer, you know, right when September hit, we signed with Revival Recordings. And, you know, so that was also in the works while the record was being finished. So there was a lot of things. And, you know, that's like very new for us. You know, we've been working on our own essentially with just our crew and Dim Entertainment. And yeah, it's been honestly like such a fulfilling year and a half's time, just trying to like get the songs out and do everything. Like it feels so good, like right now, that like the songs are out and people can really listen to them and enjoy them. Like it's like, I was telling the boys, like the day that the album came out, like I had a migraine, because I felt like I'd released so much pressure and stress, and just like the idea of getting ready for the release, like the release of the record. Like it was just so crazy, like when it was finally out, like definitely felt huge.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, it seems like your attitude kind of as people is held in, you know, equally high importance, if not more so than anything else, when it comes to like making the kind of like business decisions about the band. And I'm curious to hear a little bit about kind of like that approach.
Sure. Yeah. If I'm just being like super like bare bones and raw about it, like, you know, like we have such like a cool, like I would say pretty like equal balance in the band. Like we all just bounce around like from different, like, you know, I guess you could say jobs that we have to do in the band, you know, because if someone's, you know, worrying about social media all the time, you know, that can like just become like a thing that they're just like worrying about, and it just becomes all about that, whereas it's about like the whole experience. And, you know, like this is like a group, and this is like, you know, like our lives, and like we love this because of like the art. So we like really enjoy like taking our time with the things that we have to do. And, you know, that's so crazy, because it's like, it's taken me my whole life. Like I've learned patience like from Alex and the guys, like, and you know, Alex and Sam, you know, the two boys in the band with me, you know, they're literally the best. And I wish they were on this call right now. You know, everyone's so busy. But basically when it comes down to like business stuff, I feel like we're all essentially like we all take the role of like captain essentially. And we're really good at like passing off like where we each want to lead. Like, for example, we worked on a music video and Sam led like all the editing, and he like crushed it. And like, it was so good that like he could take on that role. And then, you know, when the release of our record was coming out, you know, and like for like most of our like rollouts for the releases, you know, Alex plays a huge role in like helping, like, you know, making sure that like Facebook gets posted to YouTube, like literally like nothing is missed. He's definitely like on top of like making sure like all like, you know, that everything's organized on the business end. And it's cool because we all pass around like those jobs and stuff. And yeah, it's fun.
For sure. And I feel like that kind of also plays into, you know, the, I guess for lack of a better word, like the messaging of the band, like despite the fact that your music is kind of aggressive leaning, the lyrics are very much inclusive and kind of trying to build up like this consciousness for like social issues, political issues, stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I feel like honestly, like we've, like how I said, like me and Alex have been playing music forever. And, you know, like I knew Sam from being the bassist in this hardcore band called Illusionist. So I think just like over the years, like being in like, you know, we were in like pop rock bands when we were like 13, and then we like hopped right into metalcore, and you know, like you come full circle. And I think we're just trying to bring an energy to our shows, and we're also trying to portray it in our music. So like literally all we're expressing is like what we want and like what we see, and like kind of just like what we live every day. So it's interesting. We love like the chillest music too, and we always find ourselves writing like ballads and like, you know, like all of these like chill tunes, and like I don't know, like anything, we find ourselves like writing all types of like variations of ourselves. But our live show is definitely a like in the aggressive setting, so it's pretty cool to like weigh both sides of that, like when it comes down to like songwriting and like knowing like where we lie as a band. But you know, going back to like the lyrics, yeah, I think we're just trying to like really just be respected by like, you know, our peers, like in music, and like the people we look up to, and also just kind of like relate, because I don't think any of us are really trying to say anything like too witty or too crazy or maybe even like too dumbed down. I think everything is just like completely just us and like honest, and it's just coming from like where we lie in music. Like I listen to a ton of like I listen to everything, but for example, like a huge I think proponent of music that comes out of me is like rockabilly. And I think like a ton of like songwriting influence I've had was from like John Fogerty and like Creedence Clearwater Revival. And I think like a perfect example, if you look at like the lyrics on like America Part Two, like the lyrics are very simple and they came from like me. Whereas like you look at lyrics on like Talk It Out or something, and it's like more of like a rap, you know, it's almost more of like spitting lyrics instead of like this kind of like this basic folk story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that kind of plays into the idea of, I guess one of like the little pull quotes is, you know, using your platform to journalize the experience of being a young adult in America today. And I feel like, you know, I'm 28, so I still consider myself a young adult, but I feel like that's not something that I think about all the time, like how vastly different what, you know, people my age or younger have, you know, experienced, and how different it is than, you know, anything that, you know, anyone's ever experienced as a child. Can you talk a little bit about kind of like, you know, using the music to, you know, view stuff through that lens?
Yeah. I think like growing up in Monmouth County, like we were like super fortunate, like me and Alex were super fortunate to, you know, go to the schools we went to and go to the high schools and have like a clear perspective on like what was going on. I think, you know, when we travel and when we tour, we see a lot of the country, and a lot of people that don't travel outside of their state or, you know, outside of like their surrounding area don't really know that, you know, a lot of America's poor. And a lot of America is really spread out, and, you know, the culture gets spread out. And I think being, you know, an hour from New York City and being where we are and like, you know, having movies, music, culture, even just seeing farmland and then being able to go to like Asbury Park, you know, 5 minutes down the road, you get a whole set of like culture that I think someone in, you know, maybe like a rural part of the country wouldn't get to experience. And I feel really grateful as like a young kid being able to make my own decisions and like have my own perspectives and see things, because we're just huge fans of like culture and you know, like we're huge fans of, I mean, I'm a huge fan of like comedy, and you know, we're huge movie fans, and yeah, I think specifically growing up on like the Jersey Shore, like we have kind of like that feel, that kind of perspective of or at least we're trying to portray a little bit of like what we felt like growing up. Like in the song The Bridge, I think the mood of that song perfectly describes like
a rainy day in like New Jersey, or like a rainy day in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. It's actually like about the geography of that area. So if you drive around like Atlantic Highlands, you can kind of like hear and well, you could see exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's cool. It's actually like a pretty literal song.
You mentioned music videos before, and you know, there's the strong visual aspect to the band. I think you're like 5 music videos deep for this album at this point. I'm curious, like, how do you kind of approach that side of the band?
Oh, it's cool. I mean, I think every project is different because, you know, I think at the beginning of this band, you know, like, you know, we always have been like, you know, strapped for cash a little bit because, you know, we're just doing it ourselves and we're funding it ourselves. So I think anytime that we could do like a cool project, like it just became like the coolest thing. And I think one of the first, I mean, definitely the Split music video, we filmed it with a couple friends, and that was such an awesome like example. Like, just like we were trying to like create a vibe, and actually a couple things didn't work. We had like a live show with friends, and then we didn't end up using any of that footage. We only used the close-up footage, and that ended up being all the footage for the live shots. And I think it really, really just like enhanced the perspective of the music video, and it just kind of puts you right in the face of the band. And that was like kind of like our first heavy music video too. But yeah, every single thing is different. I mean, we've worked with Chris Kunichuk. We've worked with Benjamin Lieber. Everyone just becomes our close friends, but these are like some awesome names in, you know, in video media and stuff. And they've been doing some great things for us. I mean, Chris and Ben teamed up and did the I Don't Wanna live music video. We did live sound for that, like almost like a Black Sabbath music video. And we had Doug Gallo do sound for it. And yeah, we did this like this green screen music video in this barn that we were staying in for a month over the past winter. We were like demoing music and living out there because we needed to get out of our homes. And yeah, we ended up doing like a lot of projects out there. So even just like that as an example, like we, as the band, you know, since touring wasn't really happening, we had just kind of saved up money and we rented an Airbnb for like a month in December. And we just got to write and got to just be with each other and just enjoy it.
I mean, I guess kind of going back to that idea of like the inclusivity of your lyrics and messaging, one of the things that you launched kind of at the start of the year is the Hotel Resistance website. And I would love to hear a little bit more about that and how kind of how that idea came together.
Oh, yeah. How? Yeah, no, I forget exactly who said it, but, you know, we have this garage in my backyard. It's I live at my grandparents, and, you know, they have been so amazing with like letting me do what we got to do. And they love, like, I mean, we would just jam in the garage, and I've cleaned it out over the past 3 years. It was like completely overtaken by clutter and just random stuff. But we kind of always did our music videos in there. We still do like a ton of work in there. It's basically like our little studio. And we kind of just had this idea to have like this underground public forum where we could meet. And we always had in the back of our head that it would be like a physical place that we could meet, you know, like post COVID or whatever, you know, when we could have physical meetings, like it would almost be like our fan club in a way. But yeah, as of right now, we're doing like the online forum on our website. You know, if you go to americapart2.com, you know, it's got our link to our merch store, Mischief Night, and then our public forum. And, you know, it just started, but basically we're just taking in like submissions of like anything that you want to say, anything you want to speak about, anything that you want to like project. And we're going to make like, you know, when shows come back in full swing, we'll probably have zines and, you know, just like really like stuff. I guess more inclusive stuff just to get everyone involved, like just anyone that is a part of, you know, our team and like that like supports us. It's just like super cool. Like I'm glad that everyone was down, like even just, you know, from us to like management to the label, like everyone is just thinks it's like the coolest thing. And I think it's the coolest thing too, because you know, it's just starting out, but like a couple of people have reached out and it's like super cool what everyone has to say. Honestly, it's super cool.
For sure. Yeah. I think it's like a really cool way to just, yeah, stay connected and, you know, get get to better know, you know, everyone who's kind of involved for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And hopefully we're like, we're already working on some more stuff to do on the website, but yeah, we got something cool, you know, concerning like, you know, live music with Hotel Resistance. Like, we're going to be doing something cool for all the listeners that have been, you know, bearing with us without the live music and the live shows and the touring and stuff. We're going to do something cool this next month. Hopefully people can enjoy at home. So
awesome. And then I feel like, you know, it's kind of one of those cliche questions typically that I frown upon, asking about the band name, but I think this is kind of an exception to that because I'm not so much interested in knowing, you know, where the name America Part Two came from as I am kind of like what it means to you and kind of how, it's evolved over your time as a band.
Yeah, you know, it's actually so funny because I love like telling the story about how the name was found, because, you know, like we would do voice memos on our phone, like when we're, you know, in your iPhone, there's voice memos where you can like record yourself. And if I would be recording like an acoustic song, I would just record it real fast, you know, save a stupid name or whatever. And we were just in this period where the band didn't really exist. Our previous band, the day that we broke up, we knew that like we would be like finishing up school, finishing up some like responsibilities that we had to do. And in the next year, like we were going to like form this, like essentially this powerful group with like our four closest friends, and things came together and it ended up being like a, like partly like a different group and stuff. But we were always like writing songs in that period, even though like we were in a band, like, you know, it was my three best friends. We were just showing each other all of our songs. And I wrote this song called America and it literally went nowhere. It was just a voice memo that I just probably even just hummed. I don't even know where that voice memo is, but it was one of like a couple songs that I was working on that day. And the second song I had worked on, and I just remember that the first song was a song I was working on, and the second one was like this melody that just popped out of nowhere, and it ended up being the melody for the song America Part Two. And I just wrote down America Part Two because the first one, like, it just had like a country vibe to it. So I'm pretty sure I just saved it as America, like no specific meaning at all. And so when we were like, fast forward a couple months later, when we were like thinking of band names, that was just kind of in the batch and it was like off to the side. And Alex said, he was like, yo, that's actually really cool. And we kind of just let it evolve itself. And so like, it's cool. Like, I think we're trying to figure it out exactly what it is like every day too. Cause like, we feel so fortunate that like our band is America Part Two, and that like, we can like push this, like, you know, this hopeful idea that like, you know, that we can all do better. You know, it's kind of like that sort of thing. That's kind of where I view it. And, you know, anyone can view it, you know, like however they want, you know, but it's definitely like in a positive light, because I think it's more of like, you know, a statement, like just about like life and humanity and morality, you know. It's pretty cool. Like, and you know, from it to come from somewhere where it had like no real meaning, like it was just like a couple words that I put together just on paper, you know. And then Alex was literally like, yo, that actually is so cool. Like, I remember him saying it for the first time and it didn't like click, you know, it didn't really like sound like, you know, sound like anything to me. But I'm glad that like people really dig it. Cause I think when we play and, you know, like for example, we played the other day and it was so amazing. You know, we've obviously been taking time off cause of winter in the Northeast. And, you know, last year, you know, we wanted to be safe throughout COVID. So we did like the first drive-in show in Jersey. We did an Elks Lodge show where we like rented out the night and it was outdoors. So we've just been trying to do outdoor stuff. And we did an outdoor flea market in Highland Park, New Brunswick. And it was so great. Like being out there and being a vendor, you know, not it being a regular show where we have, you know, where we have like a guarantee and, you know, it's all these things. Like, we just set up a table and sold our merch and we just were slinging it. Like, it was just awesome. It felt so good to be out there again, just doing that.
For sure. Yeah. Good to be back. Yep. Awesome. And then I'd like to wrap up every episode the same way, which is just by asking for a piece of advice or something you've been thinking about lately that you wanted to share, whether it's music or life or anything else.
True. Well, I've been thinking about a lot about like the beginning of like
how we all started playing music recently, because, you know, I think it's a really cool question that we get asked sometimes, especially because we just dropped the record. People have been wondering like how we grew up and like where our influences come from. And I would say to like anyone that's just like starting out an instrument, don't have any expectations of like what it should be. Because I wish someone just handed me a bass and dropped D and taught me the blues. Like, I really wish someone was just like, nope, it's just, you can play any note, because when you're playing with people, it sounds cool when you're like doing something different. Like, I feel so free when I play my bass in America Part Two. And I think one, like, you know, practice what you want to practice, but definitely always practice, like always be playing. Like, I think that was like my biggest thing, is that like, I knew that like, if I wanted to be like a musician, like a paid musician, like I had to play like 10 times more than everyone around me, just every single day I would just be playing. So like, to anyone that's picking up an instrument, like any young kid, just like, you know, play with people that you love, and yeah, just try and pick it up and learn it for like what it is. Because it took me literally so long to be confident with a bass guitar. And I remember being in jazz band in like seventh grade, like, you know, I was learning bass on essentially on the side because I wanted to be in a band with my friends. I would take lessons and stuff for like maybe like a year, but I was doing percussion in middle school, like concert band and stuff. And so when they threw me in jazz band as the bassist, I couldn't read music. And so I felt like I was like a fool, and I felt like I couldn't do the things that like I was supposed to. But, you know, like literally, I wish that someone showed me that like it could be just about feel, and that you could just be listening to other people. You could listen to music and play along to it.
Okay, I know if you checked out all three episodes this week, you're sick of hearing my voice, so I'll keep this short. Check out America Part 2 and their album Price of a Nation, out now. I'll catch you back next Wednesday for another sweet conversation. Find the Call is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. Special thank you as always to The Alternative for helping to promote the show, Kaylin West of Tiny Stills for the theme song, and Michaela Jane for the artwork. You can keep up to date by subscribing to the podcast and following the show on Twitter and Instagram at FlyInTheCallPod. Feel free to email any questions, comments, or other feedback to me at FlyInTheCallPod@gmail.com. Let's change the world together.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget, and we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.